trae todo lo que necesites, todo lo que no también, cosas que siempre has querido en precios bajos de Amazon. Todo lo que está en descuento, si eres bueno y no también, cosas de la abuela que se toma el chardonnay con hielo, cosas que te nutrirán y no podemos mencionar, cosas del jardín y más, ahora en grande en Amazon. Cosas.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to take a look at this whole thing. You know, Representative Mike Johnson, the newly elected Speaker of the House, released a statement shortly after his win was announced. Johnson had taken the reins of the 56th Speaker, and his statement addressed the path ahead for the House under his leadership. "It is an honor of a lifetime to have been elected the 56th Speaker of the House," Johnson began. "Thank you, my colleagues, friends and staff and family, for the unmatched support throughout the process." Mike Johnson was elected the 56th Speaker with 220 votes, just 5 votes over the 215 needed to secure the Speaker's gavel. The close count came as a result of the 4 absent members. And we're going to go ahead and take her away.
I want to show you the picture. I'm bringing Matt Gaetz, Congressman Gaetz, right now. But Mike Johnson, let's see this again. First thing he did was not go to the sticks, but to call the media into the conference room where they had this intense debate for hours when he was named designee. He bowed his head in prayer with the entire conference in back of him. Bowed his head in prayer to Almighty God. Matt Gaetz, it was epic, historic, unprecedented. Walk us through it.
Oh, thanks so much, Stephen. I have to start by thanking the War Room Posse. This would not have happened without you. I can legitimately say that the feedback people were getting from our activists all over the country led them to the best result. And I also want to thank you, Steve, because though I get very frustrated with you sometimes when I'm trying to call you and get advice and you're broadcasting, you know, 87 hours a day, I do appreciate in the off hours your counsel. And it's important for people to know how gracious you are with that and how much I appreciate it and how much my colleagues appreciate it. So I want to give you the first
Let me just say one thing, I always defer to Gaetz, because this is a young man that's got quite – he's playing five-dimension chess all the time. And sometimes we have crosswords, a little hot talking, but it's all in the process of making sure things run well. Matt, terrific job. Walk us through what happened.
No, it's the Irish in you and the Scotch-Irish in me, maybe. So, all right, here's what happened. The chapter of this that was dispositive, the crescendo, begins as Tom Emmer is withdrawing from the race yesterday. I told Emmer on Sunday he was not going to get there. He was going to move like a hot knife through butter through about the first, 80% of the conference, but that there was going to be a series of votes that were never going to be there for him. He wanted to run through it, and I said, "Tom, here's the deal. You can have your runway, but when you get to that last group that will not support you, you cannot drag this on for days. You cannot drag this on for weeks. You cannot play into what Kevin McCarthy was working the whole time to try to get people to believe that the only person that could govern the Republican conference is Kevin McCarthy." So Emmer agrees that he's going to have his shot, but that it's going to be quick. So we get that through the gestation system early yesterday. So as Emmer is withdrawing, Mark Molinaro, a moderate New York freshman Republican, stands up at the microphone and says, "Well, instead of restarting this process and having a candidate forum and sending everybody home for a good cry, let's just take a non-binding poll on where people would be on the person who came in second to Tom Emmer, and that was Mike Johnson." And Elise Stefanik said, "Well, that's against the rules. The rules don't contemplate it. We can't do that." And brilliantly, Mark Molinaro says, "Then I move for unanimous consent that the rules be waived and we take a poll on whether or not Mike Johnson could be our speaker nominee." And guess who objects to that unanimous consent request? Kevin McCarthy.
Who was that?
Kevin McCarthy stands up
and
says, "I object to doing a roll call on Mike Johnson." And Mike Johnson was exasperated. All the times Johnson had voted for McCarthy, had carried his water, maybe even voted for some bills he didn't like because he was working toward the Republican conference's stated objectives under McCarthy. And here was the thing. It showed everyone that it was actually McCarthy who was working to knife Scalise. It was actually McCarthy who was working to knife Jim Jordan. It was McCarthy working to knife everyone. And he hadn't yet figured out a way to knife Mike Johnson. And so he was worried that there was going to be this great unifying moment, and he scuttled the unifying moment. So because of McCarthy's objection, we had to have this three-hour delay. And, you know, candidates announce again, have another forum. And guess what happens during that delay, Steve? Patrick McHenry runs to the House floor, opens it up out of recess, and then adjourns till noon today. Now, why did he do that? Because they were setting up a play to block Mike Johnson with write-in votes in the intra-conference process for Kevin McCarthy. They were promising people hearings on their favorite legislation, passage of bills. I heard people promised, oh, maybe you'll get a chairmanship. And the play was for McCarthy to return as speaker and then Jim Jordan to be the deputy speaker in some sort of like Dwight Schrute assistant to the regional manager posture. And that would have been debasing to Jordan, someone I like a great deal, and it would have been empowering to McCarthy. So Garrett Graves and all these people are working to try to effectuate this return of McCarthy, and they're telling us there are going to be 100 votes for McCarthy on the write-in. You know how many there were? 33 on the first write-in. So they flame out terribly. Mike Johnson's gaining momentum. Ultimately, McCarthy gets 43 to vote for him on a secret ballot, but Mike Johnson gets a majority, and then he says, you know what I want? I want a roll call vote so that those 43 would have to announce themselves as being for a candidate who wasn't even running instead of a unifying force like Mike Johnson. And when we called for the roll call, do you know how many people voted for Kevin McCarthy? Zero. He went from zero. So he went from promising 100 votes to delivering 43 to zero willing to vote for him. And everyone in the room knew at that moment that I wasn't the force for chaos. I wasn't causing disunity. That for the last 3 weeks, the reason the House of Representatives has been paralyzed is because for his own selfish gain, Kevin McCarthy was sabotaging the candidacy of anyone else because he was plotting a return. And we stopped it. And in the place of Kevin McCarthy, we get a Bayou Louisiana Mike Johnson, a brilliant constitutional attorney. He has been my seatmate in the House Judiciary Committee for 7 years. For 7 years, we have worked against the illegitimate impeachments, against the weaponization of this government. This guy did the toughest cases before the Louisiana Supreme Court. He is sharp. He will be as respected in the halls of our in the homes of our most meaningful, righteous, and patriotic donors as he will at the rallies with our most enthusiastic and meaningful activists. It is going to be a great moment for the House. And you know what? At the very end, when some people didn't know if they could still even bring back McCarthy, a few of them just left the room and didn't vote. And the swamp is on the run. MAGA is ascendant. And if you don't think that moving from Kevin McCarthy to MAGA Mike Johnson shows the ascendance of this movement and where the power in the Republican Party truly lies, then you're not paying attention. But they are crying, they are hand-wringing and bedwetting over on K Street because we have an honorable, righteous man who is about to take this position. He's going to do great things for the country.
I want to make sure we go back to this because of the 20. Once you made the vote, once Mike Johnson said, I want it on the record, we're not going to go to the floor because McCarthy's guys blocked it, but I want it on the record here. Not one of the 43 stood up and said, I'm voting for McCarthy, correct?
No, and like obviously because McCarthy and Graves and these guys were running this because they were out promising the world to people, they voted for McCarthy. But then Kevin McCarthy, after voting on the secret anonymous ballot for himself, then had to stand up and vote for Mike Johnson after his objections had been overrun, after his coalition had dissolved, and after the sad hopes of a desperate man trying to cling to power were vanquished.
I want to go back to the specter. We've called the specter of McCarthy has loomed over this entire thing, and the media, the mainstream media refused. They kept saying we were the causes of chaos. This is because the lobbyists, the corporatists, the oligarchs on Wall Street, big tech, have control of him in this apparatus. They've had it now for over a decade, right? And they don't want to give
it
up.
That was control,
at the end of the day, that's what the fight was about.
Right. When they are in control, the American people get chaos. We get chaos with no budgets, with rising debts, with an administrative bureaucratic state that has seemingly no check, with all of these performative resolutions and investigations that don't result in meaningful change for our people. That's chaos. I have tried to bring order out of that chaos. And the reason it took me a little longer than expected, the reason it took 3 weeks instead of 3 days, is because Kevin McCarthy leveraged the last vestiges of his power to try to block any other human of any other ideology from being able to assume the speakership. And he was defeated. The swamp was defeated. And it would not have happened without this posse. It would not have happened without some great work from people like Jody Arrington, Clay Higgins, Scott Perry. We had a great team working to give Mike Johnson the support he needed to build a coalition. Kevin Hearn was an absolute star. Mark Green was the star. There is going to be a real opportunity for us to come together.
This is what
it is on our terms.
This is what
it is their surrender on our terms.
Right. This is what Green said when Green dropped out and said he tweeted out. He says their games being played. Those are the games we're talking about. But also, Emmer and Scalise had a role in this also. This was really a unifying moment for the entire conference. Didn't they have a role in this also?
Yeah, and I respect these men, and I know they might not be the favorite of your audience, but there was a moment when I went to Emmer and Scalise and I said, look, fellas, like now you see it. You see it plain as day that the person who was working against you all along was Kevin McCarthy. And Steve Scalise, like the Italian godfather, sat in the corner as McCarthy was trying to block his fellow Louisiana and Mike Johnson. And member after member came up to Steve Scalise, and he would give them advice and counsel people respect Steve so much and listen to him. And you watched Steve Scalise put the final dagger in the heart of the hopes of Kevin McCarthy's return. And it was a beautiful chef's kiss because Steve Scalise actually was not treated fairly during this process. Kevin did everything he could to hurt Steve. And the fact that Steve now gets to put Mike Johnson in that chair over Kevin McCarthy's attempted comeback is glorious.
Another Louisiana. Real quickly, I know you got to bounce, but you in your 7 years as the wingman with Johnson, he's very focused on the administrative state. He's very focused on the deep state. He's very, as a constitutionalist, he's beyond upset about what's happened to DOJ. Walk me through, what do you think that's going to take as far as the speakership?
Well, Mike Johnson lashes a technical proficiency to go after the administrative state with a real desire and willingness to do so. We have had some people demonstrate great proficiency, but maybe not as much willingness. And then some people aren't willing at all. Mike Johnson sees the weaponized administrative state for what it is. The best questioning that I have seen from any member on any subject in the 118th Congress was last year when Mike Johnson pinned Merrick Garland down on critical race theory and the fact that his own son-in-law was profiting off of it and Garland was then serving as the muscle. It was exquisite. So this guy knows what to do. He is a tactician, and I will be right by his side doing everything possible to see that Mike Johnson is successful, to see that the House of Representatives is successful in our oversight goals, and ultimately that the American people are successful. The other thing, Trump and Mike Johnson get along so well. You'll remember back in one of the impeachments of yesteryear, Mike Johnson was actually on the Trump defense team driving a lot of the message and a lot of the legal strategy that was ultimately successful in the Senate.
It starts at high noon. I hear Elise Stefanik is going to put his name in nomination. Matt, where do people go on social media to follow you? Because it's going to be an intense day. We're not quite
I'm gonna
there
be
yet.
I'm going to be breaking down more detail on how this developed and even what we're doing now to ensure that we lock down those last votes on my podcast, Firebrand, that people can find on Rumble, on YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts. Also at Matt Gaetz, at Rep Matt Gaetz, anywhere on the internet.
All righty, we are back. And I'm going to open the phone lines now nationwide at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Already, we have Steve from Cleveland. I'll have Steve. Hey, Steve, am I too real? Am I too real out there, or should I cut back? Should I tone it down?
To be completely honest, when you listen to you,
you rub off on a lot of people, and if you don't rub off, then they must mean there's nothing for them to rub off on, or else they're sleeping. You're not radical enough tonight. You know who you are. You know what you say, and you're definitely bold as a lion. And,
so you're not telling me to tone it down.
Nah, maybe just you're not as young and good looking as Matt Gaetz, but you're right there.
Okay.
You are by far. I mean, you have to take this the right way. The Rush Limbaugh of nighttime radio, and I am listening in my head when Rush gets on. It's just he's there. No one in the daytime has any brains to listen to him or mention a name. I can just see when Biden gets up there, anything the Democrats do that Rush would say, just the way, hello, folks, well, here we are again. And, we're all ready for a day to go. And, Pastor, when you come out at nighttime, after 50 years, you're more needed now than ever, times three or four or five, whatever you want. I mean, you are, this program is completely needed, and you're definitely listened to. And I'm reading Larry Nichols' book, so there's a lot in there. Things started with the Clintons, probably before him with, George Bush Sr., but that's another story. But 3 months ago, I was watching some 9/11 stuff just to kind of see and watch. And gradually, as I was watching, you get into certain things, and you start seeing things that have been happening. This is before anything was talked about, this last few months, just a little here, a little there. And I've learned more in 3 months to deeply really understand. People just, it goes by. It's just like a traffic light, You green, go, Hey, get out of my way, hit your turning signal, and, go to the store, come back home. People just do not see it right now. And something happened up in Maine tonight, and there is going to be a new wave of cities and targets, and it's sort of like my dad used to be in Okinawa, Sergeant Marine in radar, and he says, you can see everybody coming. I mean, we just saw them there, and we just put it together and gave it to the commanders. And there's other stories there, but the thing is World War II, and now it's kinetic. We're there, and everybody's out doing whatever they're doing. They haven't got a clue, but listening to you, Pastor, I listen to Bannon. He just brings everybody together. But when you listen to Matt Gaetz, you don't want him as a speaker. You don't want Jim Jordan as a speaker. They need to be where they are. But I was watching Nancy Pelosi when a lot of stuff was going on, and if you took a good look at her, her eyes were going pretty much in the direction of the former speaker. They're both from California, and Bannon gives Nancy a lot of credit because she got things done. That's all the credit he gave her, but he said, she was she knew how to wheel and deal.
Well, she knew how to keep all of the communists in lockstep. And they knew if they betrayed Nancy, if they didn't get in line with Nancy, then they wouldn't be on any committees. They wouldn't get any funding. Their areas would not get any communist money, during the election. So Nancy cracked the whip.
Bannon said Kevin McCarthy, all he ever really had was some kind of like hot dog vendor or some kind of, I don't know. That's what he said. He said he's never had a job. But he's from California, and he looks like, I don't know, when he was in school, I mean, he might have sprouted up. He looked like one of a few of the guys that are like, the joke, be like the nerd that got stuffed in the lockers. But when you're from California, Matt Gaetz just proved it times 10. And that I did not hear, and I am so glad I heard it because I was looking for that, what happened. Now, as Bannon would say, Trump put us in the room, and the cartel is now exposed. And whatever Gaetz did, it took a few weeks to come back, but he, 220 votes, they all locked in there. And Kevin McCarthy was over there looking one way, and I saw Nancy. She was just, Pelosi just sitting there locked on, just different times. You just look at it. She's just sitting there looking straight away. She knew what was going on because she was coordinating a lot of that stuff. She had to.
Well, you still having a big call, even, right up to today, they were still talking about having Trump. If this didn't go down right, then they were going to try to draft Trump, and Trump said he would consider it. He would come if there was enough. He would consider it. That would really be something.
Oh, that'd be a beautiful thing. I don't know if Trump needs better lawyers, but I'll tell you what, he walked out of the courtroom today, and this guy, if everything could go right in the Power War Act, on, I thought it was going to be George Jr., Bush Jr., whatever, but, you know, if they can somehow keep things level for a while and Trump gets back in there, there's a lot of people that are going to have executive orders on him. I mean, Biden had four, you saw the pile of executive orders the very first day. I mean,
well, Trump is going to do. They've already, right now, they're already preparing. They're already vetting people in case he gets back in. And they're doing it with a perception that he's going to get back in. And look, have you seen everywhere he goes, the higher, the more they go after him, the more indictments he gets, the higher he goes in the polls. And it's because. Yeah. The American people are fed up. The American people are tired of having their intelligence insulted. They're tired of being told that there was no election fraud when you have truckloads and truckloads of 200,000-300,000 false ballots are found. Then when right out in the front, in Detroit, they went and they covered up all the windows and would not allow any Republicans inside. The corruption was in your face everywhere you go, and then you got this corrupt judge where he's in charge of this trial, who should have been totally disbarred and removed from the bench. He's violated every law. And Trump gets this, his case goes to the Supreme Court. First of all of these things they're charging him of, he was immune to. The Constitution is very clear. He had executive privilege as the President of the United States. So all of these things that they're accusing him of, and then you have the two-tier. Joe Biden had way more of these so-called documents. He had them in garages. He had them strewn all over it. Now, Trump, being the president, had the privilege of having these. Biden was not the president. He was, you go back to where he was senator, and he had all of these documents that were supposed to be classified as a senator. But it's like, well, you know, we're not going to, the so-called Justice Department, we're not going to go after, even try to investigate Biden. You know, that's the whole point of it, is their job was to make sure.
They said there was about 1,800 boxes or something that was in the, with his Corvette in his garage or something like that. But the funny thing is Trump had all these boxes in the bathroom. And how much box moving do you think the FBI did that day before they took all the pictures? I mean, it would be beyond a setup. It's like no one's going after the obvious. And then he throw it off, and it's like over here with, you know, Hunter, the complete. He's not even a maniac. I mean, if you took Don Trump Jr. and Biden, it's like, look how the kids were brought up. I mean, one's a crackhead, and one's just, he'll tell you, I might be half of what my father's been. But Trump's dad lived to be 93, by the way. I had to look that one up. But when you look at everything, Trump's name is in the word triumph. And if you look at Biden's name, the first two letters are by and the last three letters are den. And all I look at is sometimes, hey, you're not looking for anything, just but something jumps out at you. But when you take the word evil and you spell it back, it says live. And right now this government is as evil it has ever been. And
you're not kidding about that, Steve. It is evil.
But Pastor,
you know, it's exactly the way God's word.
Everybody.
Read Matthew chapter 24, Steve. Read verses 1 through 14. That's exactly the way the government is today. Exactly. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, read verses 1 through 9. It's exactly what the Bible said it would be. That's, so we know exactly where we're at today. It's, you know, it's there. It's
well, we listen to you, and I mean, you could, you can make the, I mean, there's nothing I've heard you stumped in. I mean, if you had to tell somebody and ask them, you kind of let it sink in with them. And I mean this with all my heart. In daytime, if you go back and you can find some Rush tapes, or it's on, have somebody, he's back there on the archives. Just rushlimbaugh.com and some phone numbers on there, some, you know, phone calls on there. But listening to that man, 5 minutes of his vocabulary during the day with these other, I don't want to call them idiots because they're not. They probably have to watch what they're saying, but some of them aren't very, ignorance is, means, well, hey, I don't know much. So I guess we're all Sergeant Schultz. We know nothing, you know, because Trump's sitting there getting fined $10,000 and then he just walks out of the courtroom.
Yeah, let me tell you, Trump is rope-a-doping these people. You know, Trump is, he knows what he's doing. They've got a strategy, but they're up against some real dark forces. I mean, some real, real evil, godless.
Well, that judge looks like he just took his clown face off from the circus or something, because, I mean, this guy's, I mean, really, I'm not talking about anybody, but some of these liberals, it's either how they think or their brain is just too big for their head and it's spreading over their face, because, I mean, with these saggy-looking glasses, I mean, they get them on TV, and you look at them, and say MSNBC and CNN, I mean, do you people ever look in the mirror and, I mean, find out someone, a hairstylist? I mean, they're just completely, and Jimmy Kimmel, he's a funny guy.
It's by their actions. But I just read out of 94 Solomon's, and by their actions, their actions tell you that they don't believe that God sees what they're doing. Their action tells you they don't believe that God hears what they're doing. Their actions tells you that they don't believe there's a God, okay? And, you know, the Bible says God is not mocked. So we tell them, you know, you better, it's to repent. Jesus, the very first time he preached, remember what he said, repent or perish, or you too will perish. Likewise, and so here in this is what we're the message we've been trying to get out to these people for 50 years, and how many of them have died in their sin, and how many of them is it too late for? But that's our job, to keep telling them to repent or perish, huh?
Well, my mom used to tell me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and there's so many different things that John the Baptist. I mean, if being Baptist means that there's different nationalities, there's different religions, there's whatever. God didn't create anything. Man made all that stuff.
Now, Steve, actual Baptist, Baptist is not a denomination. Actual Baptist is a doctrine. It's in Hebrews 5 and 6. It's a doctrine. You know, the Bible, denominations is not biblical. It is not something that God has given us. That's one of man's inventions, contrary to what God has given you. The Bible is very, the government of the Bible, or the church, is very simple. The government of the church is Christ, and Christ alone is the head of the church. You have the under-shepherd, which is the local pastor, the elders and the deacons, and the congregation. There is no denominations spoken of in the Bible. That's man's invention.
It's as simple as can be, is what you just said.
Yep.
It's beyond too simple. And there's over 6,000 languages. So the Tower of Babel is doing well, you know, living well today, and God bless Israel, and God bless the United States. Most of all, Pastor, God bless you and your ministry.
You too. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. You look like a Christian.
Look like an angel.
Walk like a Christian.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like a Christian. But I got wise. You're a liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are.
In disguise, oh yes you are. You fooled me with deception, you fooled me with your lies. Heaven help me before I saw the liberal in your eyes. You look like a Christian,
look like an angel,
walk like a Christian,
walk like an angel,
talk like a Christian.
Oh, yes, you are.
room in the sky. Oh, yes, you are. I thought you would go to heaven, but I was sure surprised. Heaven helped me before I saw the liberal in your eyes. You look like a Christian.
Look like an angel.
Walk like a Christian.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like a Christian. But I got wise. You're a liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. A liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. You're a liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. A liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. A liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. A liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are, but C.S. Thunder's no liberal in disguise. Hey, C.S.
Hey, Pastor.
Boy, it's been a while since you've been here, but the folks all know you've been in the hospital. We prayed for you. You had a massive heart attack. And
actually, I was pretty close to death. They didn't think I was going to make it.
Yeah,
I know. I know there was a lot of people praying, and I'll tell you what. There is power in prayer, and I have been spreading the word in the hospital here, and a lot of people are very receptive. I'm finding out a lot of people that are in the medical field are Christians, but I'll tell you, Pastor, it's an eye-opener. It really is. It's gotten to the point where I made a promise to God that if I make it through this, that I will do my best to talk to people every day about God and to discuss the Word of God and to get out there and spread the Word and tell people, you know, get right with God, because we're all going to die eventually. I mean, I know I might have survived this. Pastor, I was up to 217 pounds. And I'm now down to my high school weight of 160. So they've taken pretty good care of me here at the Cleveland Clinic. But it's been just an eye opener to me to hear some people. And you know, there's a lot of women that come to the United States to learn nursing, and they stay here, which is good. And a lot of them are foreign, and they believe in God very heavily. A lot of them do. So it's been kind of an eye-opening experience, a life-changing experience. And I would recommend that everybody, you know, we're put on this earth for one purpose, and that is to try to get as many people to come with us to heaven as possible. And, of course, there are going to be people that are going to be resistant. I would say that you've got to at least try. And I can't tell you, Pastor, the smiles on the faces of some of the people that are here that are being treated when I tell them that I will be praying for them. And they get a big grin on their face, and they say, oh, thank you so much. So there is power in prayer. There's no doubt about it.
I knew that. All right.
I know you did. Yeah, you were the one that told me that. The first time I ever heard that was from you.
Yeah. And, I wish you had been in church Sunday. Jim McNeil, who was with me here last night, he's the head of our tea party, and him and Carrie, and he had hurt his knee. It was killing him. The pain was very, very bad. And I said, why don't you sit in a prayer chair over there? And one of the men yelled out, Pastor, we got to pray for this guy right now, because he was in very bad pain. We were thinking about taking him up to the hospital there. So we put him in a prayer chair. anointed him with oil, and all the pastors stood around him, laid hands upon him. We prayed over him. And when we were finished, the look on his face, it was like a total... He was bewildered. Mm. It was a look of on his face like he stood up. He said, "It's gone." He said, "The pain is completely and totally gone." And it was that way the whole next day. And so that happens.
Well, it certainly does. And, you know, I was praying for you when you were having your shoulder work done and all of that.
I appreciate that.
You what?
I appreciate that. You know, the one thing that they used, the anesthesiologist, as a pain blocker, was the one thing that I was allergic to. And so I had to do it without a pain blocker.
Oh, my, yeah, that's a rough road to hoe there, that's for sure. But
yeah, it wasn't fun.
No, but I do know this, Pastor. Every time I said a prayer, I felt better. And not only that, but I was praying for many of the people here. And, you know, I told them that. Everybody that I talked to, whenever I had, say, like a group lunch, I would bring up God. I would talk about the Bible. There was one person that said, "Oh, the Bible, it's full of errors." I said, "Oh, really? Show me one." And he couldn't.
I'll tell you what. You hang in here. You hang in.
Okay.
I got other callers that are lined up, and let me take some, and you can kind of co-host with me for the rest of the night. Just stay right there. Let's go out to San Diego, take Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
Hi, yes, your caller, CS. Is he still in the hospital?
Yeah.
I have, right now I'm going to be released tomorrow.
Oh, wow. And it's been, 3 weeks?
Well, I've been in the hospital for over a month.
Oh.
But, your voice sounds very strong. It sounds like you made a complete recovery.
Well, actually, I have, but eventually I'm going to get on the nutraceuticals and some of the stuff like Wendy Wilson has and some of the other doctors that came onto Pastor's program. You know, they got me on the rat poison Coumadin right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so they get you on that stuff, and then you're like stuck on it forever then.
Yeah, my mother took that. Listen, yes, I think you're doing the right thing. Get out of the hospital. That's where the germs are. Get as far away as you can.
Pastor
Ernie, I wanted to make one comment on our new Speaker of the House.
Uh-huh.
So from what I can understand, he's pretty much a Trump loyalist. And I heard that he signed on to a letter that I guess it was a year or more ago. That, you know, with others he signed on that he believed that the election was stolen.
He sure did. He spoke outwardly that he knew it was stolen. And I believe he was standing there with Jim Jordan when Jim Jordan had in his hand evidence, a lot of evidence of election theft, along with the senator from Missouri. I'm having one of my senior moments. Holly.
He was also a signatory to a letter that many signed on to, but I just wanted to make a kind of like a prediction, throw it out there to your audience. How long do you think before our new Speaker of the House is indicted?
Probably tomorrow, you know. Yeah, they'll find
go after him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They certainly are going to go after him. The opposition is completely and totally corrupt. There's nothing about that's not corrupted. You know, here I was to hear Chris Ray talking about he's got a really concern about radicals in our government, terrorists. Boy, that really makes me feel good to know that Chris Ray is really concerned, huh?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. If you feel that an election was stolen and there was fraud, I didn't know that was against the law to express your opinion like that. But evidently,
it is. It was, according to them.
Was doing it.
Yes, a lot of them. The black lady that was running for governor of Georgia, she said that the election was stolen. She should be the governor.
Believe me, she was no lady. Believe me.
But it's let's just say there's definitely a double standard, and it's very serious because what they're doing is unconstitutional. And the scary part is, no matter if it's the border or whatever it is, it's like you can't stop these people. They got control of everything.
Well, this is why we're doing tactical civics here. That is, it's a way where we can take it back county by county. And it's working. It's working. In fact, I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow night. You'll want to listen.
So let me leave you with this. My final thought is, I don't know if you recall, but I called in a previous show, and I talked about nuclear weapons and that before anybody would use one, like Russia, they would need to test it first because they've been in storage for over 50 years. And, you know, try starting a car that's been in storage for 50 years. So isn't it interesting that Russia has left the nuclear test ban treaty? And it's a story that didn't get a lot of play, but I understand that on the day that they left the treaty, Biden ordered a weapon tested at the Nevada nuclear test site. The only thing is they never disclosed what kind of weapon it was they tested. So I believe that Russia is probably getting ready to use tactical nuclear weapons, and before they do, they'll test one or two.
The other thing they didn't tell you, Jack, was that they sent some special forces in, the Green Berets and SEALs, and along with the Israeli special forces, and our guys got shot up really bad into Gaza, but you didn't hear a word of that or peep of that out.
What was their mission?
The mission was to go in and try to free some of the hostages. They thought they knew where they, but there was a trap laid for them, yeah.
Well, before this is over with, this is going to be Israel's last chance to attack Iran and disable their ability to make a nuclear weapon.
Well, that's why we've got those big aircraft carriers sitting out there.
Yeah, well, we don't really know what their purpose is. You know, my understanding is those two carrier groups are not nuclear armed. We have not gone to DEFCON 2. And also, don't forget what happened to the USS Liberty.
Well, there's something even more egregious, and that is the fact
that those carrier groups are actually going to work against Israel. They'll take action. But I think everybody should look up the story about the USS Liberty.
I think that Israel should not trust Obama Biden at all, and I don't think they do. And so,
okay,
all righty,
guys,
my friend.
Good
thanks. Good night. We got to go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Man, Cliff, where were you yesterday?
Yeah, I was listening, but I stepped out and put it on pause, you know.
And
then
okay.
I came back. Yeah, on the Alexa, I put it on pause. But, one thing is a tactical nuke now is about what they dropped on Hiroshima. Now that's what's defined as a tactical nuke. Also, I'd recommend you guys were just talking about sowing and reaping. It's More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray podcast. He's running a 5-part series on reaping and sowing, and God is not mocked. I would recommend it as interesting. It articulates it very well. Also, on LifeSite News, there's two articles. One may relate to that issue. One in Ohio. What am I saying? They're saying that the last few days, the social media is being flooded with trans stuff. What they say is this is like the truth illusion, where if you repeat something, bombard people with information and keep repeating it, some people will believe it. One of the things they're saying is they don't want parental notice because otherwise these kids may commit suicide if they tell their parents. Yeah, so that's on LifeSiteNews.com. The other notable article right now, again, with LifeSite, click on the bottom. It reads the article in a woman's voice. It's much easier. Is one of the things that the FDA was not informed about was the simian monkey virus, SB40, is in a percentage of these shots. And that was the problem with the polio, some of the polio vaccines way back when, and linked with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But they're saying it's not what's explaining the turbo cancer. That's a separate issue. It wouldn't do the turbo cancer. Those are two notable articles. And then my question is more going back to the study. Yesterday you were talking about Psalm 9, and if you look, it is interesting that David's saying, in verse 14 in Psalm 9, he's talking in the midst of that hellfire situation. He's talking about, I will give God all praises, which is interesting, all praises, and rejoice in my salvation, contrasting with verse 5, where he's talking about that people's names will not be in. And the law, get rid of their name for all time, similar to what it says in the book of Revelation about people being blotted in the book of life. So just like to ask you about that, where usually, like that idea of someone rejoicing in their salvation in the midst of carnage, that's kind of interesting, because that psalm is talking about basically hell on earth, and then it has that one verse, 14.
Well, it says that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit. They are made in the net which they had in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by his judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands, Hagion. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And so that's, you're right. You're talking about those that come rejoicing in the gates of Zion. That's true Israel. And you'll find that in Zechariah 13, starting with verse 7. But I got to move on because I'm running out of time.
Okay.
Thanks. How much time do I have there?
You have 6 minutes, Pastor.
I have 6 minutes. C.S., I have 6 minutes. You think we can give a good salvation message in 6 minutes?
I know we can. I know we can, Pastor. And by the way, we are at war. We have been at war ever since man has been created. And we need to remember that. We're at war with forces that are unseen, as long as also seen. And so we really do have to be careful. The television is a wasteland. I highly recommend that people turn it off because there's nothing good on there at all. Why do you think they call it programming? But, you know, Pastor, there's an awful lot of people out there that don't believe in God, and they're waiting to hear from you. I'm not talking about you, Pastor, but you, the listener, and you that are out there that are believers. We have to spread the word. That's our job. And we're going to be getting rewards in heaven. And I would much rather be in heaven than hell. I've heard people say, oh, but all my friends will be in hell and I'll have a party. And no, you won't. It will not be something that you are very happy with at all.
Okay, so you're telling me you believe that hell is very, very real, right? Because there are people... out there, even the Pope has recently said that there's nobody going to hell, okay? But so we know that because the Lord Jesus actually preached more on hell than he did heaven, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, Pastor, the interesting thing is there's a lot of people that are saying that Jesus never existed and that the Bible is not, you know, it's made up by men. And I often get into discussions with people. They say that Jesus wasn't a Jew, But then again, what was Jesus doing?
Yeah, they're saying he was a Palestinian. Now that's what's hidden in all the media. But I got to get into this salvation message, Steve, because
the media is also out there saying, "Oh, he's an election denier," like it's like it's a major sin, and they're doing that. It's propaganda. It's an info war, and we have to be very careful about who we believe and what we believe.
Yeah, I've got to give that invitation right now because we're running out of time, and I got to let the folks know here that the bottom line is this. The bottom line is everyone listening out there to me tonight, and someday will die. That's a fact, right? Do you know anybody that was here 200 years ago? Even 150? No. So it's appointed all men once to die. That's a fact. And then the other fact is a lot of people don't realize this. And then the judgment. That's for real, okay? People are eternal beings. We don't go out of existence. We change real estate. We change our shape and our form. But we don't go out of existence. Our spirit and soul last forever. And some last in bodies, those bodies that will be in torment forever. And God is a righteous God, and God is a just God, and he gives everybody the opportunity to avoid that lake of fire, more than ample opportunity. He is more than completely just. And when people end up in hell, it's because they placed themselves there. Because they did not want to go to heaven, because they rebelled against God, they refused the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for them. They've refused that, what he did for them. And so they're going to have all of eternity, Steve, to regret that. And so, folks, here's what Jesus said to do. Very simple. I got to do it, just let you know. Jesus said this is what you do. To avoid that lake of fire, you realize one thing. The good news is that only sinners can be saved. Only sinners can be saved. And so you're in a good position right now, if you haven't received Christ, to get saved. And here's how you do it. Jesus said you pray to his Father. Pray to the Father and ask him for forgiveness. Okay? Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. And according to God's holy law, you deserve hellfire. But he placed his Son upon the cross. And if you repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness, then he has opened the door for you not only to leave hell, but to come to heaven. And so how do you do that? He says, then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And you recognize, you ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any exceptions. That's what he demands. You got to put him first. And then if you do that, the Lord Jesus said that you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you'll be on your path to immortality. Now, God has said this. You see, God has said this. It's a big difference between what man has said and what God has said. And so that's what I would do if I were you tonight. Okay, right now we're out of time for tonight, so as we come to this point every night, are you ready, C.S.?
I am ready, Pastor.
We say good night. Say good night.
Good night.
Say God bless. And then we always say this. Always, always, always.
Always.
Keep fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Lots of channels. Nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.